translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Shaunaka said, the son of Vyasadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, was a highly learned sage and was able to describe things in a poetic manner. What did Maharaj Parikshit again inquire from him after hearing all that he had said? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord automatically develops all godly qualities, and some of the prominent features of those qualities are as follows. He is kind, peaceful, truthful, equable, faultless, magnanimous, mild, clean, non-possessive, a well-wisher to all, satisfied, surrendered to Krishna, without hankering, simple, fixed, self-controlled, a balanced eater, sane, mannerly, prideless, grave, sympathetic, friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Out of these 26 qualities, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopala Ananda Bhagavan, Jai Sitaram Lakshmana Namaji, Jai Gaurnitai. Out of these 26 prominent features of a devotee, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, the qualification of being poetic is especially mentioned herein. In relation to Sukadeva Goswami, the presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam by his recitation is the highest poetic contribution. He was a self-realized learned sage. In other words, he was poet amongst the sages. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे हरे कृष्ण. सो फर्स्ट आई विल सीक द फर्स्ट I want to thank Bhaktivedanta Manor to giving me the opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, although I'm unqualified, but for my own purification, and to seek the blessings of all Vaishnava, I'm taking this service, and I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can speak in the parampara. Hare Krishna. So up until now, Sukadev Goswami has answered the initial question that Parikshit Maharaj had asked him about what is the duty of a person who is about to die. So in one sense, we can say that the question has been answered. Bhagavatam could be this could be the logical end. And that is why we hear Shaunak Rishi. He speaks now and he's asking and he's wondering whether Parikshit Maharaj asks further questions or is it the end. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shaunak Rishi is asking, what did Parikshit Maharaj again inquired from him after hearing all that he had said? So here we see the eagerness of Shaunak Rishi to hear more of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he will continue in the next few verses glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam and the benefits of hearing about Krishna. And he will chastise heavily people who don't pay that much attention to hearing about Krishna. So that's what will come about in the next few verses. Here we see that Shaunak Rishi is glorifying two qualities of Sukhdev Goswami. One, he's saying he's a Rishi Muni, a philosopher, and very learned sage. And secondly, he's glorifying him as a poetic. And we can see Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that this is the greatest work, poetic work that the world has ever seen. And all acharyas have said it. Also the modern scholars who have some familiarity with Sanskrit, or who are Sanskrit scholars, they say that Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest poetic work the world has ever seen. So that is how great literary work that Sukhdev Goswami has written. And we can see that some of the meters used in some of the shlokas, that has never been used before. So it is new, that is Srimad Bhagavatam is introduced in terms of the meters. So that is a great piece of work that Sukhdev Goswami has done by giving us Srimad Bhagavatam. And the question comes that why do Vaishnava need to be poetic? Right? Any thoughts? Why does Vaishnava need to be poetic? Any guesses from anyone? Any? Yes, it's very pleasing. Poetic is pleasing. Yes. So it is said that Krishna is most wonderful. And the Vaishnava is focused on Krishna, in glorifying Krishna. So, to glorify Krishna, the devotees become naturally poetic. So, if somebody has to describe Krishna and say that he is blackish, bluish in complexion, I mean, it's fact, but it doesn't go much further. It's just a fact. But when the same thing is explained that his body is like a monsoon, freshly formed monsoon cloud, and we see that there is light emanating from Krishna's body, which is like thousands of suns, or millions of suns, brightness. That gives us taste. Okay? So, Rupa Goswami says that we should use metaphors in describing Krishna and his pastimes and his qualities. Because by using metaphors, we can relish more. We can get a rasa of understanding Krishna. Not only the fact, but also the rasa that we get from if we present Krishna consciousness poetically. So that is the reason devotees, because they are glorifying Krishna who is most wonderful, they use poetic language and they are poetic. And the metaphors used are not, see, there could be two kinds of metaphors. One is decorative, okay? And the second is cognitive, where you can actually realize what, not only hear pleasing, like you said, Prabhuji, hearing, it's very pleasing. But it also has depth. The Srimad Bhagavatam poetic languages has deep depth. It's substantial and it's direct and it's very philosophical. So it's not only poetry, but it's deep philosophical, is what we understand or hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. So coming back to the 26 qualities. So one of the quality of a Vaishnava is that he's poetic, that we discuss. But the question is, these qualities, are they only of Vaishnava or it can apply to anyone? The answer is actually these 26 qualities are of the soul. And these 26 qualities is coming from Krishna. So as we know, Krishna has 64 qualities in full. And we are part and parcel of Krishna. So we also have those qualities in a minute way. But these qualities of the soul, the 26 qualities of the soul, is getting covered by Maya. So Prabhupada gives the example of that if the fire is covered with ashes, you cannot see the effect of the fire. But when the cloud or the ashes are removed and the fire is revived, we can start experiencing, the soul can start experiencing all this 26 quality, they start emerging. So these qualities are for not only for the Vaishnava, I mean, for the pure devotee, but it belongs to all the living entities. So that is why it is very much relevant for us that we at least become aware of it. The awareness is needed. Prabhupada further gives the example that just like there is a blazing fire and there are sparks. So Krishna is compared to the blazing fire and the jiva, the living entities, are compared to the spark. When the spark falls off from the blazing fire, it extinguishes. So similarly, we have come into this material world and we have lost those 26 qualities and it's covered. In order to revive that fire within us of those pure qualities, we have to connect back to Krishna. That is the only way we can revive this. And Prabhupada's advice to all of us is that we should, let me read it. Prabhupada says, with the advancement of Krishna consciousness, we should verify whether these qualifications are becoming manifest in my person. So it's not only theoretical where these 26 qualities are for the pure devotees, it is for all of us. So that is what Prabhupada is encouraging. And not only that, Prabhupada is saying we should also check periodically whether we have this, whether we have developed these qualities. Because in Krishna consciousness, as we make advancements, two things happen. One thing is our material attachment reduces. It should go down. And second thing is our attachment to Krishna should increase. So that is advancement. That is the definition of advancement that Prabhupada explains. So I think we should at least be aware of it. The benefit of being aware of these 26 qualities is that when, as we make advancement, if these qualities come, we don't shut it down. Like somebody who's never read much, who is not poetic, and he starts developing taste for poetry, he may think, why am I wasting time? I will never be good at it. But these qualities are not something that has been imposed on us. Okay, this is not something we acquire from outside. It is already there. This is the natural quality of the soul, 26 qualities. So they will automatically start appearing within us as we develop, as Prabhupada says, as we make advancement, we reduce our material attachment and we increase attachment to Krishna. As we keep doing that, these qualities will automatically start appearing within us. And if we are aware, then actually we can actually focus on that and develop it further. And don't not shut it down because we think we are not qualified or we've never done it before. Like the example of poetic, somebody developing poetic taste. So that is why Prabhupada is emphasizing that we should be aware of these 26 qualities and it applies to us as a living entity and we should start verifying whether we are developing it. So with that thought in mind, just want to ask anybody has any questions so far in terms of these 26 qualities or whether and how it is relevant for us. Yes, Prabhuji.
My question was about in terms of sudras who can be classified as artists, and many artists are like poetic as well. So I was just trying to understand that in terms of their consciousness.
Yeah, see, these qualities of poetic is in relation to Krishna. So even a sudra who is doing painting for Krishna, that is spiritual, that is transcendental. So he can, anybody with any skill can elevate themselves by dovetailing their propensities in the service of Krishna. So it is transcendental. Even the shudra or anybody else doing menial work like poetic or artist. Does that answer the question? Yes.
Also, just find out, these 26 qualities, are they qualities that naturally manifest as one progresses in their practice, or are they qualities that an individual cultivates within themselves consciously as they're carrying on?
Okay. So these qualities are inherent within the soul, because these qualities belongs to Krishna, and because we are qualitatively one with Krishna, we inherit that. But we inherit in a minute part. Krishna has all these qualities in full. So as we, Prabhupada says that these are naturally there in us. It's already exist, but it is covered by Maya, by all the bad qualities we have developed. So one of the qualities is kindness. But if I look at myself, kindness is like very rare. It's the opposite that comes naturally. So right now, all the natural qualities that I see in myself is all the opposite of the 26 good qualities. But as we become purified, and Prabhupada explains that how before we came into Krishna consciousness, we were addicted to so many bad things, like meat eating, myself, I can talk about myself, drinking. But having accepted Krishna consciousness, that taste is gone. I mean, it doesn't even cross my mind about all these bad things, some of the bad things. So like that, it has come naturally. We may have worked a little bit. If we develop it further, we can mature it further. Okay? We can stress on one thing and that we can develop further, make it more mature. But the qualities are inherent within us and it will manifest automatically within us. Yes, Govind.
In the nectar of devotion, there's 64 qualities of Krishna and 50 of them by the jiva. I'm wondering what's the connection between the 50 mentioned in the nectar of devotion and the 26 mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, I think 50 qualities is like possessed by Brahma in the, to that extent. But here, I think, yeah, maybe somebody can answer between the 50 qualities mentioned in the nectar of devotion and 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. Anybody?
I haven't personally come across a list of those 50 qualities before the devotee.
Is there a nectar of devotion? I think we can read that. Maybe that's a homework. Yes, Rohit.
I had a question. We know this was Harav Bhakta Sivakuto Mahatguna. That a devotee, non-devotee does not have any good qualities. Could you explain that? Because we do see people kind of go out their way to help others, right? Compassionate, you know, like kind. People speak nicely, gently. Right? Prabhupada said, gentlemen, you know, like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a very good question, Prabhuji. And that's a very practical, if somebody couldn't hear. So, Prabhuji's question is that in the world, we see many peoples who are not devotees, but they exhibit this, some of the 26 qualities of kindness, compassion. How do we understand that? And it is said that what is the conclusion? That they are not, they don't have any good qualities. Yeah. So, yes. So Prabhupada has answered that. So, somewhere I had read, Prabhupada says that these qualities exist, okay? In the original state, we have these qualities naturally, but it gets covered and these things get manifested. If one is not a devotee, these qualities of kindness and all gets manifested in the form of philanthropy of different in terms of socialism, in terms of communism, it gets manifested, but these are all self-centered, because the mentality of such people is that generally that if I am a British, I want to help the British, If I am this, I want to help my kind. So it is, that's why Prabhupada said that these are self-centered. It is not pure. It doesn't help everyone. So that is why it is not good quality. It is selfish because it is not connected to Krishna. And we misunderstand. The right thing is there, right ingredient is there. But because of our conditioning and our covering by Maya, the way we implement it, we bring all that dirty things in our practice of it. So it's there, the spark is there, but it's been implemented in a wrong way. Or there is a misunderstanding about things. Yes, Roy.
Could also say, maybe add to that, is that you talk about self-centeredness. But also, you could observe that people are generally want to appear to be good. I'm a good person. So the glory is for them, whereas for a devotee would be, they remove themselves and it's for Krishna's glory. So, so they would go their way to do good.
Hmm.
Because they want to appear to be good, a good person.
Yeah.
It's an appearance.
Yes. So I think the point is that this quality exists in Krishna and we also have it. But some, if you're not making spiritual advancement, Krishna consciousness, we may apply that, but in a wrong way, with a wrong understanding. So that is why eventually it will lead to although it's appreciated, but it's not, it's very self-centered and very minor in the thinking. Yes, Prabhu. Prayojan Prabhu.
It occurs to me that Maya Pichat Yan, is it? They've got all these qualities, but they're doing it for their own prestige.
Yes.
And so it's self-motivated. But then there's the contemplation of Krishna. And I give an example. My daughter, when she was young, she painted a picture for me for my birthday of Krishna. And her talent was then utilized in such a way, it became innocent, you could say, maybe also you could say self-motivated because of a relationship with me. But while this contemplation was going on, she was using what she had as her ability to give me something that was pleasing, hopefully, to Krishna, because somehow she was meditating on his form. So it's an unknowing Sukriti, you could say. So there's both there. There's the one for the prestige. They've got all these wonderful qualities, but there's also the innocence, or the innocent, Prabhupada often talks them, or the ignorant, where they don't really know what they're doing, but somehow they're absorbed in this focus on Krishna's form and trying to do it in a unselfish way, in that they're trying to please those dear to them. A comment on that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very well said. I think this thing happens because they came in contact with you, or niece came in contact with you. So if this philanthropist, altruist, or socialist, they come in contact with the devotees, they can transform themselves. They can purify themselves. So that association of devotees is very much needed to make progress. So that is the point, that when we come in contact with the devotees, we start making advancement in our Krishna consciousness. Thank you. So we'll just go through those 26 qualities, because our objective was to become aware of those 26 qualities. The first quality is of kindness. And Prabhupada says that this kindness is for the humanity at large. Prabhupada gives the example of devotees who have given up the comforts of the home and become a brahmachari or sannyasi So to show kindness to the humanity. And Prabhupada gives the example of Sanatan Goswami and all the six Goswami, Rupa Goswami, how they were like big ministers and lived an aristocratic life. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was literally a king, multi-billionaire. But he gave up all of that to show kindness, to give this Krishna consciousness, because we were not aware of this good fortune and we were absorbed in material, all the people. So they gave up that so that they can preach Krishna consciousness. So that is a sign of kindness by the devotee. A Vaishnava is peaceful. He has no enemies. Third quality is truthfulness. Vaishnava knows the ultimate truth, that is Krishna. That is why he is truthful. Fourth, equable. He or she is equal to everyone. He doesn't make a difference, distinction that he is a man or he is an animal. Or here is a man and here is an animal. The animal has no soul and the man or the human has a soul, is a soul. So that distinction doesn't exist. Because Krishna says that sarva yonishu kaunteya. So this, every living entity is a soul. So that is why he is equal to everyone. Doesn't differentiate. Fifth, faultless. You cannot find any faults with devotees. Okay? Sixth, magnanimous. Thinking of all living entities, and there is no distinction that I am American, and I shall think for the American, or I am Indian, I will think for the Indians. And the best example of the most magnanimous is who? Yes. Thank you. So, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. So, Krishna says that Manushya Sahasranam Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye in Bhagavad Gita 7.3. It is very difficult to understand what is Krishna, but Lord Chaitanya is giving it freely to everyone. So, that is magnanimous, Lord Chaitanya. Seventh, he is mild, or he or she is mild and meek. Eighth, he or she is always clean. And Prabhupada gives the example that the Vaishnava has surpassed the Brahmanical stage of life. And therefore, he must be very clean in his eating habit, in his taking bath, washing clothes, and the temple worship. That's very clean. Ninth, a devotee is non-possessive. A materialistic person, they try to possess more and more. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopala Nanda Bhagavan. So the materialistic person wants to possess more and more, but a Vaishnava is only interested in what is a basic necessity. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. That is a Vaishnava. Tenth, well-wisher to all. So Vaishnava is always thinking about how can he make people happy? How can he give Krishna? And Prabhupada's most famous words were, "Your ever well-wisher." So that is another example of being the well-wisher to all. A Vaishnava is satisfied in any condition. In any condition, the Vaishnava is satisfied. It's not that he's demanding that I must have all these things. If these things are present, then I can become happy or I'm satisfied. He's happy in every condition. That is a qualification of a Vaishnava. So if Vaishnava doesn't think that what I want is not satisfied, is not given to me, then I become dissatisfied or I leave the temple. He's satisfied and he will accept that this is Krishna's mercy. So that's the 11th quality. 12th, surrender to Krishna. So this is the most important quality a devotee can have, which is he surrender to Krishna. And that satisfaction can be achieved only one is surrender to Krishna. If I have surrendered to Krishna, Krishna has taken my charge. Krishna says, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishamai ma suchaha. So it is also, if I am suffering, that is also Krishna's grace. Let me accept it. Not that only good things come, then I will be surrendered. And if things don't go as per my thinking, then I will not surrender. So Prabhupada said that is called business. But devotee doesn't do that with Krishna. He accepts that I've surrendered to Krishna and everything in my life is happening by Krishna's arrangement. And if suffering is coming, that is also coming from Krishna. Let me accept it. 13, without hankering, no material desires. What is this hankering? Why shall I be hankering? I know Krishna will give me all protection. Otherwise, why shall I hanker? So, devotee is without a hankering. He is simple, no duplicity. The worldly men, they are duplicitous. So, Prabhupada says one of the qualifications of materialistic man or woman is that they are cheater. And this is also one of the four defects of humans, right? They have a tendency to cheat. So that is a quality of a non-Vaishnava. He is fixed, he is steady. Number 16, he is self-control. He has control over his senses. 17, he is a balanced eater. He does not eat more than required. 18, he is sane. Sane means he is not influenced by the modes of material nature. 19, he is mannerly. 20, he is prideless. He does not desire any respect for himself. 21, he is grave, does not talk nonsense, doesn't waste any time. If you have got time, chant Hare Krishna, but don't talk nonsense. He is grave. Sympathetic, Prabhupada says that we got a human body. So if our god brother, god sister fall ill, we have to take care of them. We have to show sympathy. Because one day we've got material body, we may also get sick. So Prabhupada is encouraging us to be sympathetic to each other. The devotee is friendly. Why is he friendly? Any answer? Why is the devotee friendly? So Govinda Prabhu says he's happy, that's why he's friendly. Generally have. Yes, per Prayojan Prabhu. Yeah, perfect, Guruji, perfect answer. Because Krishna says, I am friend of everyone, Bhagavad Gita. So, a devotee is a representative of Krishna. So, how can he not be friend of everyone? So, that is what Prabhupada explains. Then we discuss poetic, number 24. He is also expert, number 25. And lastly, he is silent. He is a silent worker, Prabhupada says. He does not advertise himself everywhere. That is silent. So Prabhupada says in the end, so we must try to follow, not imitate. Following is nice. So come to the end of the class. Any last questions? Any comments? Any corrections from anyone, please? Yes, Prabhu.
I just wanted to ask about how devotees expert. Like we hear devotees expert at everything. In one of the verses, the Gita, 15th chapter, Krishna also says that he knows everything. So if you can maybe elaborate on that. Because, myself, other devotees, they struggle with many different things.
Yeah. So in our, as we are in the process doing bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti, we are still in the initial stages, so we have not fully manifested that quality. So, but if you look at the pure devotees, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was expert in everything that he did, in terms of how he managed the ISKCON, how he wrote books, how he preached. Prabhupada was meeting great scholars, like Mensa scholars, who are like greatest, and he could interact with them and he could preach to them. I mean, we wouldn't last, 1 minute with them, in terms of their intellect. But Prabhupada could do that. And Prabhupada could, so many things Prabhupada did so expertly. So this quality is coming from Krishna, the expert quality. And that is, and as we develop, we will develop that expertise in doing everything perfectly. Like we see the example of the great devotees, how they do things. Does that answer, Prabhuji?
Through a platform, they'll be expert at everything.
Yeah.
and expedite everything, or feel that they choose the way?
Sorry, Guru?
Would they be an expert in a particular field based on their personality, based on their nature or relationship with Krishna? Or will they be expert at everything? And also the other question is, do they know everything? Or do they know a specific field, a specific area, you know, based on who they are, based on the relationship with Krishna?
Yeah, I mean, this we can see from the pure devotees that we know, right? If you look at how Srila Prabhupada, in the case of scientific, like going to the moon, Prabhupada said it could be this, it could be that. So Prabhupada is not saying that I know everything, but he's saying that he's using logic to explain that it is not with this material body we cannot go to the moon, or these scientists cannot go. So he's not saying like with full authority that they have not gone. He's giving options. So there could be other possibilities of how it is. Similarly, for the fifth canto, explaining the material universe, Prabhupada would consult many devotees, many experts in that. So, but Prabhupada had his own expertise in his preaching activities. So it's not that he's having expertise in everything he does, he or she does. So that is my understanding. Sutupa Prabhu, do you want to? Sorry to put you on a spot. The question is, does a devotee, we are talking about the 26 qualities, and one of the qualities is expert, devotee is expert. So is he expert in all fields completely, or he is expert in certain things and not so expert in other things?
When you asked this simple question to me, when I was sitting on the Vyasa sunrise, I was about to get up the meaning of expert from the Nectar of Devotion. Too late. What can I say? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was expert at fixing the printing press. So he was a bit of an engineer kind of person. Quite a lot of our acharyas were quite experts. Many of them had degrees from university and, you know, stuff like that. So I think that for me, they're just very talented, so whatever they choose to be expert at, they become expert at it because they're very powerful in potentiality. That's the way I look at it. I don't see them as being knowing everything about everything, and they never really claim that anyway, so that's how I look at expert. But there's a meaning in the scripture of what expert is, so that's what we need to look at. But Ananta Gopal is about to say something.
Yeah, I think very good point. I think if devotees apply their mind, what Govind Prabhu said, they can become an expert because they're getting that power or their understanding from Krishna. So that is how they can become expert.
I think when we speak about the expert, the way I see it is the devotee always wants to do best for Krishna. So therefore, whatever he does, he will try to do best. He will learn it in the best possible way and make it best. So therefore, he's expert. For example, you know, if the devotee wants to give Bhagavatam class, he will prepare for it. He'll try to do it really nicely for Krishna. If he wants to clean the temple, he will learn and do it properly like Prabhupada did himself. So whatever devotee does, he'll do expertly in that particular field. So when you say expert, it doesn't mean, in my understanding, everything about everything, but whatever he does, he'll be expert at that. Yeah. Because he wants to do best for Krishna.
Beautifully put for you. Beautifully put. Yes, Sudhava.
I think also if we look at Prabhupada's life, he relied on his disciples actually for many things, for managerial knowledge of the world, knowledge of different, for example, Bhaktivedanta Institute, relied on his disciples. So I think a pure devotee is expert in the sense that he's expert at getting everything done. Doesn't mean he has to know every single thing, but he knows how to achieve the end and engage people and utilize whatever is there in order to get things done. So I don't think, yeah.
Thank you, Sathya.
In that regard, I heard Prabhupada say that a person is an expert or perfect because he follows perfect.
Yes.
Expert. So because Krishna is expert, his instructions are faultless. So if you follow the instruction, regardless of what your position is, if you follow the instructions, then you're perfect.
That's yes.
I would say that.
Please, Mataji, any comments, corrections, questions? Mataji, one thing.
I'm saying I've seen many devotees, they're born with good karma. They have, generally, they have good karma. They have many good qualities. Even my own children, they have so many wonderful qualities, cooking, painting, drawing, intelligence, learning, scientific, many things. Devotees can be anything at any moment. That's what I think. That's what I've seen with my eyes.
True, Mataji, true. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'll ask two questions and then we'll end. Prabhuji.
Hi Krishna, it's not a question, it's just adding to that. Basically, Mahanidhi Swami mentions what Srila Prabhupada had said, so I just wanted to bring it up.
Yes, please, thank you.
In regards to this, so I'll just quote what he says. In the following passage, giving a more liberal explanation of the term expert, Srila Prabhupada acknowledges that devotees do have their limitations and personal abilities. No one is perfect but Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And this definition will suit most all classes and enable everyone to become an expert in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says, expert means whatever he is doing, he must do it very nicely to his best knowledge. To your best talent and capacity, try to finish it very nicely, whatever it may be. If you think that you're unable to do that work, then whatever work you can do, you take. But do it nicely. That is expert. Don't imitate, thinking, oh, I have no capacity to work in that way, but I want to imitate. Oh, he's doing that, I shall do that. Don't do that. That is not expert. You take up what you can do very nicely and do it nicely. Just like Arjuna. He was not a Vedantist, a Brahmana, or a sannyasi. He was a householder, military man. But he knew his business, how to do it nicely. So you do your business nicely. That is expert.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Beautiful. Perfect. Prabhuji, last question.
I'll just say, I went to the Nectar of Devotion. So here's what it means to be expert. Any person who can quickly execute a very difficult task is called expert. And Prabhupada gives two examples for Krishna. His ability to counteract weapons with arrows and things. He's very expert as a fighter. And he was very expert in the rasa dance because he expanded himself before all the gopis. So there are two examples.
Thank you, Guruji. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Jai Srila Prabhupada.